50 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the car doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
Spirit of Boston, and soon, or maybe already, we haven't quite found out yet, 100.3 FM. We heard we're going over there as well, so, we'll have to see how soon that's going to work. I am back in the studio, in case you were wondering, if you were wondering where I am, if I made it back from Florida. Yes, I did, and yeah, back to what looks like a snow prediction coming up for the next tonight and tomorrow. And I know Dennis doesn't like the snow. He's no fan of the snow.
I can't stand the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, we are going to, and we have a great show planned for today. We're going to be talking to Nai Nan Co. Nai is the general manager at Wellesley Toyota and Lev Kia. We're going to be talking with him. And then a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to one of my coworkers, Drew Carlson, about what is going on with AAA and the Registry of Motor Vehicles. We had a little party at our Boston office with Chuck. Who's Chuck? Apparently, people call Governor Baker sometimes Chuck. Not me. I don't call him that. But I wasn't there for it.
Well, you just did.
He's probably not listening. So. But anyway, so we're going to be doing that. We have a couple of cars to review. We need to do that coming up. We'll do them a little bit more officially coming up later. So we got a great show planned for today. But right now we have with us on the phone, Nai Nan Co. He is the general manager of Wellesley Toyota and Lev Kia. Nai, good morning and welcome to the Car Doctor program.
Good morning, John. Good morning. It's really nice to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Sure. Well, you had me at your dealership a couple weeks ago to talk to some of your new Toyota owners. That was a lot of fun. And, I was so impressed with your dealership, the way you do certain things there, from, the way that you treat your employees like family. It's kind of unusual these days to hear about dealership employees that have been there. You have people that have been there 10, 15, 20 years. Very impressive.
Thank you. I think the average employee in our company has been with us for 15 years in the service department and around 7 years in the sales department. And we're very blessed to have them. They're the lifeblood of the dealership, and we couldn't do what we do without them.
Yeah, it's really good to see. And your father got up and chatted with the crowd a little bit. And you were joking, but it was sort of funny when you got up and you said, he came to the United States from Singapore, right?
Actually, China.
China.
But,
okay.
Having fled the communism and the communist war and the Chinese Revolution, he originally was from mainland and then fled to Taiwan, and where he grew up.
Okay, and but it was sort of interesting. He came here, and he went to college, but he dropped out of college, right?
That's right. It's a running joke in my family that he's the college dropout. Where we take education very seriously, he was unable to finish his master's degree at Boston University because of the hardships of trying to get started in the U.S. and not speaking the English language.
Did he also work as a mechanic for a while?
He did. So he, as in Taiwan, he was a mechanical engineer, and he loved working with cars and tinkering with things. And so naturally, when he was struggling in the U.S. to get his foot started, he would work with cars. And so he dropped out of school, and he was a mechanic, and that's how he got started.
And how long has the family owned the dealership?
We've owned Wellesley Toyota since 1989. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary with Toyota, which is very nice. We purchased Lev Kia of Framingham in 2010. And in between, we've worked with Jeep, Chrysler, Nissan, Isuzu. And actually, we started with Nissan in 1986 in Cambridge, but later sold to Larry Gordon on Mystic Avenue. which is now is, I think it's Nissan of Mystic Avenue Nissan.
Yeah.
Colonial Nissan.
Colonial
Thank
Nissan.
You.
Yeah. And the idea that you're, what I was kind of interested to when I was talking to both you and your father a little bit, you guys are real car guys too. That night I happened to be there. I had the luxury of driving a new BMW plug-in hybrid, and you knew everything about it, even though you guys don't sell BMWs.
I'm a great fan of anything with a steering wheel and a gas pedal. I have one of my best friends works for BMW, and he's the general manager of the Chicago region. And we love technology. We think that there are great manufacturers out there that include, Toyota and Kia, but also BMW and Mercedes and Lexus. And there's really not a bad car out in the market right now.
There really isn't. And speaking of the market, it's President's Day weekend coming up. It's traditionally a pretty good time to go out and buy a car, or what people joke about is a good time to buy a car or a mattress for some reason. I don't know why mattresses sell on President's Day weekend, but the ads, the newspaper ads are full of mattress sales too. What happens on President's Day? Do the manufacturers help you with more incentives, or do you just look at your own numbers internally, or do you just try to make it more fun for the customers when they come in?
Well, I do find that the hype behind President's Day sales event to be real and genuine. I know it seems as though there's always a marketing sales event each and every month of the year, but for us dealers, this event specifically symbolizes for us the turn of the spring market. You know, winters typically are slow for us. They're difficult. No one likes to clean their cars of snow, let alone 300 cars of snow. So almost superstitiously, we dealers see President's Day weekend as a projection of what we can expect for the rest of the year. I don't necessarily think that the incentives are enhanced above, say, year-end clearance sales events. But I do know that the manufacturer supports New England dealers specifically at this time to help us jumpstart our year. I wasn't sure if you knew this, but President's Day sales event is not necessarily something that is recognized across the United States. It's predominantly a sales event for New England. And so it's just traditionally always been a New England sales event, and local markets and local arms of the manufacturers. You know, Toyota, for instance, has regional divisions. And so the Boston region is throwing extra money into sales of Toyota, whereas maybe the California region isn't this weekend. So I really do think that there's some deals out there. Managers and salespeople are hungry, and we want to, you know, do everything we can to get the cars off our lot and sell more cars. Because it's been tough. You know, it's been a tough winter. Who wants to buy a car when it's snowing or sand and potholes? And so we have mouths to feed. So we're gonna make some business this weekend.
Yeah. And I, you know, you said that about, you know, President's Day being kind of a regional sales holiday. And I can't remember exactly who it was. Was it Herb Connolly or one of the old time dealers? I think was one of the ones that originally started it, right?
I think so. I know President's Day, Washington's birthday is very much a Boston, New England sales event.
Yep.
And I think if you were to live outside Boston, you probably wouldn't hear it.
You probably wonder what that
I'm
was
not
all
sure.
about.
I can't confirm that, but I do believe that that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You know, there was a time that when you looked at Toyota products, you know, Toyota has been a product that. You know, when people ask me about car shopping and they're like, well, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at that and, you know, I'm thinking about a Toyota. I'm like, well, you can't go wrong with Toyota. It's, you know, and the old PR director for Toyota on the East Coast, a guy by the name of Wade Hoyt, used to always tell me that Toyota was, and he was a former He wrote engineering columns for Motor Magazine and others before he went to work for Toyota, and he always described Toyota as a belt and suspenders company. You know, everything they did was they did it, and then they had a backup for it just in case, and that's how they put their cars together. And they were always just super high quality cars with the minimum amount of problems. And when there were problems, they were just taken care of. And then kind of the upstarts, Hyundai and Kia came out, and you know there was some people that kind of, you know, would kind of snicker a little bit about Kia and Hyundai quality as well. But like you pointed out, there's no bad cars today. But the quality from Kia now is really, really good. And you must see that in your Kia dealership as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. The Kia brand has really surprised me. You know, the Kias built today are not your father's generation of Kia. And partly because Kia sold from Ford, who had operating control prior to 1998, to Hyundai. And now they're a sister store of all Koreans. And I think they have a lot of technology in Korea, as we can see from Samsung TVs and cell phones. And the Koreans have a lot of pride in making sure that their product is represented well. Kia has been first in the J.D. Power initial quality studies for 2 years in a row now, ahead of Toyota and Porsche and Mercedes and Lexus, which is incredible. Mm. We have, you know, a lot of repeat returning customers on these new products. They're great. Kia is a great, strong value proposition. You can get, I feel, 10% more than the average car for 10% less. And I know Toyota, you know, has a strong reputation for quality. But the gap between Kia and Toyota and all the other manufacturers is very, very slowly diminishing. Mm. And Toyota historically has always been over-engineered. They put large truck brakes in their sedans to make sure that they don't pulsate and they don't wear as quickly and they last longer and they have more braking effects. And I love Toyota for that. But I also know Kia is looking to do the same thing. For me personally, I find Kia to be the Toyota of the 1990s, early 2000s. They're coming on strong. Mm-hmm. People who are giving them the second chance really, really do love them. And they're not the same company.
Yeah, no, they're good products. And I sent you a photo back a couple weeks ago that for a kind of brief period of time, I got to evaluate the Stinger GT2, and you sent me a picture back, and you said, "Yeah, me too." And I'd like to know what your thoughts were on the Kia Stinger.
I love the Kia Stinger. I have the GT2 all-wheel drive 6-cylinder turbo, which has about 365 horsepower, and it's quick. It goes 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. I can't find, and I've driven a lot of cars. I've driven Teslas, BMWs, Toyotas, Porsches, Lexus, and I can't find, honestly, a $100,000 car that you can buy on the market today with a feature that this Kia Stinger doesn't have. I love the air-conditioned seats, the heated steering wheel, the power of the motor, the handling. Kia really put some strong talent in the design and build of the Kia Stinger. I'm not sure if you recall, but Peter Schreier, who designed the Audi R8 and the A7 and the A5, had been hired from Kia. From Audi to Kia to help design the Kia Stinger. And then Albert Brunman, who is the vice president of BMW Motorsports M division, which built the M3, M4, M5s, all the M cars, was also hired from BMW to Kia to help tune the engine dynamics of the Kia Stinger GT on the Nürburgring. So you have the very best in exterior design from Audi with the very best from the engineering department of BMW M from BMW now working together and building a great car with the Koreans. And I'm shocked. I love it. I actually have my racing license with Sports Car Club of America. I race spec Miata. I instruct in Porsche GT3 for Sports Car Driving Association in Boston. The brake feel and the handling dynamics of the Stinger GT are spot on, and I really love it. I really can't think of a $100,000 Panamera or A7 that I would drive over the Stinger, to be perfectly honest. And
Yeah, I felt the same way when I got out of the Stinger. I'm like, I don't know why somebody would buy an A7. I just didn't, you know, and I know that people that love German quality cars are going to say, oh, you're crazy. But everything in it, right down to the detail inside the car, you know, the touch features, the quality of the interior lighting, everything they did on the car seemed to be really, really well done. The only thing that I question, and it's just kind of a American car market, we're not thrilled about hatchbacks. And I happen to like hatchbacks. I think they're always a great choice for people. The Stinger's sort of a hatchback. And you know, there may be some people that just don't see that somehow. But I think they just did such a fabulous job. And I remember when they introduced it at the auto show, I kind of got a sneak peek of it, and I walked by it, and I went, what the heck's that? And I came back just to check it out, and they did a fantastic job with it.
I completely agree. I think that they almost had to do a fantastic job and really undercut the market because people, you know, aren't sure of Kia and how they were in the past. And I think, you know, if they price this car competitively or relatively competitively, at a higher price point, I don't think it would sell as well. So I think Kia really strategically made the right move on the pricing point. And I also agree on the hatchback. It's for some reason, the Europeans love hatchbacks. They find them to be utilitarian. And I suppose, and I'm not sure about this, but perhaps also a little bit more aerodynamic just because of the teardrop shape. But I agree. Americans, for the most part, we just love our trucks, we love our SUVs, and we love non-hatchbacks. But this one is phenomenal.
Yeah, no, so. They did a really good job. And now you look across both the Toyota lineup and the Kia lineup. You talk about SUVs. You know, Toyota's got a boatload of SUVs, and Kia's got the Sorento and the Sportage, and the last year the Sportage won the New England Motor Press Association Winter Car of the Year for that category of vehicle, and it had some pretty competitive vehicles to go against, the RAV4 and CRV and so forth, and did really, really well against it. So there are some great products. Everybody thinks, you know, oh, great products from Toyota, but from Kia as well. Kia's got some fantastic products out there, and to the point where the people that used to own this radio station years ago, before it was sold to a big conglomerate, there was the 50th anniversary party here this summer, and I hadn't ever met them before, and we got talking about cars, like everybody always talks about cars, and he had the big Kia K900, and he said he traded his Maserati in for it. And just the idea that someone would trade a Maserati for a Kia was a little bit shocking. He said, I got to tell you, it had all the features I wanted in it, and I saved myself, you know, $40,000. So pretty amazing stuff.
$40,000 is a really good, you know, that's a year of tuition almost for your children. I think it's a lot of money. And it's the K900 is spectacular. I think we unfortunately don't sell the K900 at Love Kia because we didn't sign up for the program, but it is a phenomenal car, and I agree 100%.
Yeah, no, and even with the Stinger versus maybe something competitive like a A7, you could buy a pretty nice boat with the money saving in between. I think that's what I wrote in the Boston Globe in some column, is, you know, with the money savings, you could buy yourself a nice 20-foot boat or something. So
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and you know, and you also have a 100,000-mile warranty, so you can drive it for a long time, not have to pay much, and then you can buy a second one if you really wanted to.
If you really wanted to, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday. Wellesley Toyota, you're located right on Route 9 in Wellesley. And also the building itself, parking garage, so you don't, if you pick up your car, it's not covered with snow and you don't get wet. And it's also a very green building, isn't it?
That's right. We're the first, and we're the first LEED certified building in New England, and the only LEED certified new car dealer in Massachusetts. So we spent the money to make sure that we are sensitive to the environment and the footprints that we leave. You know, I'll tell you this really quickly, John. Our number one complaint in service is that we don't wash the car after we service it. And I think back and I say, you know, it's somewhat irresponsible. I mean, here we are, you know, with the shortage of clean water around the world, mm-hmm. and we're asking and demanding customers are demanding of car dealers to make sure that their cars are washed every time that they come in for an oil change. I think that that's almost a first world problem. And so, you know, we at Wellesley Toyota and Wellesley, we abut a wetlands protection district. We are sensitive to the use of how much water we use. And so we don't offer that service. And it's actually come back to haunt us a little bit. But we are a green building. We think that it's important to work with Toyota and making sure we build environmentally friendly cars. And we love our garage. We have a 3-story garage that's indoors. So during the winter, it's nice. We can park all the cars inside the garage and not have to jockey them back and forth and burn up transmissions and tires trying to get them out of snow ruts. But it's still a tough season in the winter for us.
Yeah. For anyone who's ever been in the automotive business, wintertime is not kind to the cars or the employees, for that matter. And Lev Kia, where is that located? And give us just a little
Lev,
quick.
Yeah, sure. Lev is in Framingham off Route 30. We are right next to the Natick Collection in the Shoppers World. There used to be a CompUSA. I think a lot of people remember CompUSA, but CompUSA was right next to us. And we're at exit 13 right off the Mass Pike in Framingham. So, you know, it's if you're familiar with REI or TJ Maxx or TJX, I'm sorry, TJX, we're all kind of together in that one area.
And where did the name Lev come from?
Lev is when we started Lev Kia, my father had asked, well, why not advertise the co-family name like Herb Chambers and you know, Herb Connolly and everyone else. And I decided that I didn't want people really to know who I am. So, this radio is actually quite ironic, but Lev is the name of my nephew. It means heart in Hebrew. My sister married a son of a priest. I'm blanking here, but
rabbi.
Son of a rabbi.
Yep.
Thank you. Son of a rabbi. And so all their children's names are Jewish. And so Lev is my nephew, and he's great. And it was also a nice, fun pun for low emissions vehicle. And then it helped us with search engine marketing, since very few companies are named Lev. So it just made it a lot cheaper to advertise. So that's kind of how we decided on Lev, believe it or not.
Well, good thing. So, and if people want to find, the stores on social media, Wellesley Toyota and Lev Kia, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. You guys do all that, right?
Yep, we're online. You can find us on Facebook, on Google, on LevKia.com or WellesleyToyota.com.
No, and
absolutely.
President's Day, Washington's birthday, whatever you want to call it. Go see the folks at Lev Kia and Wellesley Toyota, and go buy a car, right? Or at least go shopping. Go see if you haven't been car shopping in a while. Go see what there is out there, because there's some pretty interesting vehicles out there these days. So certainly worth taking a look.
Yeah, absolutely. Come by and go for a test drive and just, you know, see what you like, and then, you know, ping me on social media and tell me how the sales experience was. And if it wasn't good, I'll go and chat with the team. But we really pride ourselves on being different than other dealerships. We really want to give each of our customers, you know, personalized family attention. So, you know, that's kind of what we strive for. And I have a customer service paranoia, and I would love for you guys just to even just test us out and see how well we do, and if you buy a car or not. But of course, we'd love to sell you a car, but we really want you to just enjoy a wonderful experience.
All right. Hey, Nye, thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday morning and joining me on the Car Doctor program.
Thank you, John. It's so nice to talk to you again, and thanks for having me.
All right,
really
take care.
A good time.
Yep, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
That was Nye Nan Koh, General Manager of Wellesley Toyota and Lev Kia. We need to take a break and pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to be talking to my coworker, Drew Carlson, about what's going on with the AAA and the RV these days. We'll be right back. Spirit of Boston. You can listen to us online, WROLradio.com. You can tell your smart device, whatever. We got directions how to say that. How do you ask Siri or somebody to find us?
To get started, simply say Alexa, enable AM 950, the Spirit of Boston skill. To listen to WROL and the Spirit of Boston, simply say Alexa, play AM 950, the Spirit of Boston.
Wow. I've never had my Fire Stick Alexa do anything I've asked it to do.
No.
It's stupid. And I used to have a little tablet thing that had Alexa in it, and that never worked right either. So, I think, you know, some people say I have an accent. I don't think so, but nah.
No,
I don't think so. But, you can listen online. You can find podcasts on johnapollett.podomatic.com or Stitcher or TuneIn or, I don't know, any Google it, as Dennis would say. Just Google it.
To the cloud.
Yep, exactly. Hey, with us on the phone is my coworker, Drew Carlson. He works with Mary McGuire at our AAA Public Affairs office in Westwood, so Massachusetts Public Affairs. And, Drew, you were at the ribbon cutting of the Boston AAA office, the RV ceremony with your buddy Chucky, right?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I was this past week. My friend Chuck, Governor Charlie Baker, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito, as well as the Secretary of Transportation, Stephanie Pollack, and it was to celebrate our 33rd ribbon cutting with the RV and AAA services.
Do you guys, do you and Charlie Baker, like, play basketball together or anything? Or?
Not always. He's more of a frisbee guy.
Is he? Yeah.
You think because he's tall. You think because he's tall, he'd be a basketball guy. But no, he's more of a golf and frisbee, I believe. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Dennis, my producer, actually broke Kevin White's nose on a basketball game.
Not Kevin White.
Oh, who was it?
Right. Flynn. Wow.
Who was it? Oh.
Mayor Flynn.
Mayor Flynn's nose.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, in a basketball game. So.
Yeah, I blocked one of his shots, and his face got in the way of the ball. I can't. The stadies weren't too happy with me.
Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do about that. Yeah.
But now we have every one of our AAA offices signed up to do registry services, right?
John, that's right. And the good thing about that is we have Saturday hours from 9 to 1, so it can be convenient for, you know, families who are, you know, doing errands all day. They can run in on a Saturday and get a number of services done, and we provide driver's license, ID renewals, duplicate license or IDs, registration renewals, and duplicate titles, as well as a couple other routine license and registration renewal stuff.
Yeah, I know my wife's license was due to come up for renewal last year, and what some people don't realize, you can actually renew your driver's license up to a year early. So it was summertime. Her license doesn't renew till October, but we swung into the AAA office down the Cape. There was one person ahead of her on a Saturday. It was probably, I don't know, 11:30, 12:30, something like that. She swung in, had her paperwork all pre-done. And, you know, 10 minutes later, she has a paper license in her hand, still has her old license. And a week later, the real license is in the mail, in our mailbox.
That's awesome, John. That's a great story. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a convenient and accessible, service that we offer our members. And it's a lot of times you can find a branch right around the corner from where you live, and you can stop by on the way doing errands or, you know, what have you, and get your whatever you need done.
Yeah, and the good thing is, if you're not a member, and you should be, but if you're not a member, by us doing license renewals for our members and other registry services for our members, it it helps with the lines at the registry offices. So
That's true.
Easier for them. It's easier for the people who want to go to the traditional registry office. But it's also great for our members. They can come right in, and you know, while they're at our office, maybe they're going to renew their license, or you know, they're there and they kind of look over and they see a travel agent or insurance agent, or maybe they just want to pick up a map or a tour book, which people still do. So they can take advantage and do a couple of things at one time. So it works out well for everybody.
Exactly. And it's so convenient too. I was just speaking to our branch manager down in Westwood, Donna, and she was telling me that, you know, most of the time people, you know, all you need to bring is your AAA card and a driver's license. They provide all the paperwork, and they're now accepting, you know, credit card, debit card, cash or check. So it's really a convenient service.
Yeah, and the other thing I know from being at one of the Massachusetts offices, I don't remember whether it was Westwood or Rockland, whichever one it was, and somebody came in and they said, it's members only, and they asked how much a membership was, and they said, you know what? I kind of like the idea of not waiting in line. I've always thought about being a member. This just pushed me over the edge. I think can I sign up to be a member now, and then can I in turn get my license renewed? And absolutely. So it makes it nice and easy for people. And if they were thinking there was just one more service they wanted to take advantage of to become a AAA member, here's how you do it.
Exactly. No, that's a great point, John.
Yeah. No, you're new with AAA. How long have you been with us now?
So I've only been here for about 5 weeks now, so a little over a month.
And apparently you made your 30-day review, so Mary didn't fire you, so that's good.
Yeah, they haven't kicked me out yet. Yeah. I'm still waiting on the next month. We'll see what I can do, but yeah, I'm still surviving. Yep.
Yeah. And what did you do before you came to work at AAA? You're a young guy.
Before AAA, yeah, fairly. Hopefully, yeah. So, yeah. Before AAA, I worked at the State House for several years for a state rep, David Linsky from Natick. And I worked as his legislative aide and his legislative director.
Yeah.
And that's where I, you know, started out.
Yeah. Like many people do, you know, Mary's predecessor, Art Kinsman, did the same thing. He worked at the State House and worked for AAA for a lot of years and then went to work for Highway Safety, and now he's the regional guy at DOT. So it's sort of that progression of things that sometimes happen. So that's great. And you recently became a AAA driver improvement instructor, which is a program that we do at AAA to kind of do a driver refresher, or in some cases, if people got tickets and things, or they just want to try to lower insurance in some states. What did you think of that program that you went through? It's a pretty intensive 4-day-long program to become certified as a AAA driver improvement instructor.
Yeah, you know, so it's a great program that we offer, and it's we're going to start doing it in Massachusetts more and more. I'm actually reaching out to a number of senior centers and community centers around Mass, but it's a great program that, you know, if you want to come in and just get a refresher course about, you know, techniques how to deal with, you know, intersections or railroad crossings, or, you know, techniques, dealing with small vehicles like motorcycles, or, large vehicles like buses or things like that on the road. It's just a great refresher course that, we're going to start offering in Massachusetts to people who are interested in, maybe coming in, just learning a little bit more. Because, you know, we all take driver's ed back in, you know, a long time ago. For me, it was, you know, over 10, 12 years ago. So it's just a good refresher course that we're offering in Mass. And, you know, you can sign up, look for our social media postings about it, or just give us a call on any branch and we can assist you in that.
Yeah, no, and what I like about the program is it also gives you, as people come to AAA and, you know, maybe you're going to be asked to go out and talk to, you know, a Chamber of Commerce or Kiwanis Club or Lions Club or something, and the AAA Driver Improvement Course gives you a good background in just general traffic safety. I bet there's a few things you learn going through the program, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it can be right for, you know, people, you know, traffic offenders, whether you have a couple, tickets or things like that, or even, you know, corporate fleets. People who have, you know, cars out on the road that they want their, you know, drivers to sit down and take a class just to refresh them and, you know, make sure everyone knows the rules of the road and keep everyone safe. And as well for senior drivers, too.
Yeah, it's a great course.
No, we've done employees of Coca-Cola, employees of Amtrak, and some other fleets. I remember once I went out and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, there was a problem with some sort of something Longhorn beetle that was killing trees out in the kind of Worcester area, and before they sent people out to go beetle searching. And they had about 100 people that their job was to go out and look for these longhorn beetles. They wanted to make sure that they were trained in some traffic safety techniques. And I went out and did a program with them.
Wow, John, you had a hand in crafting the curriculum, am I correct?
A little bit.
Yeah. I saw your name there.
My name ended up somewhere. I just put some of the nonsense in, so.
Yeah, right.
Drew, I want to thank you for taking time out. You know, you probably just got in, right?
John, I've been up since 6 a.m. anxiously awaiting your call.
So really?
I've been preparing for this. This is like being on Ellen for me. This is monumentous. So I want to thank you for having me and taking the time.
Okay. I'll make sure. I don't know, this podcast when it gets posted goes down in history somewhere. So
that's awesome. Okay, that's good to know.
All right, Drew, thanks.
Thank you, John.
All right, take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. That was Drew Carlson. He is our latest AAA employee who works out of our Westwood office, going out and doing some traffic safety stuff and helping Mary McGuire and just being out there and trying to be visible with AAA. So, and a good guy, too.
Japanese longhorn beetle.
What kind?
The Japanese.
Japanese longhorn. I knew it was some kind of Texas longhorn or something.
It may not even been longhorn beetle. It was Japanese beetle.
It had long horns looking thing. It was a pretty ugly looking thing because they had some captured so people would know what they looked like. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of interesting that they actually hired a bunch of people and they had a bunch of...
Well, we'd have no woods left if we didn't.
Yeah. And gave them binoculars, and their job was to go out and try to spot these beetles. It was sort of funny. Well, our phone lines are open now, finally, after we were talking to Nye. And I was so impressed with that dealership. And one of the things they do, and I think it's because Nye's a sports car racer as well, they have kind of a pit crew technique when they do service where they have two people working on your car and they literally shout instructions back and forth at each other. So an oil change gets done twice as fast because there's two times as many people working on it. And somebody does tires, somebody does this, and they do a lot of their service that way. And I've seen it in other parts of the country, but pretty progressive, and it works out pretty well just good. If you want to join us, our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. If you want tickets to the AAA Travel Marketplace, all you got to do is call up and ask. I mailed out some this week. Just ask Dennis. He's got nothing to do. He's just sitting there. He's got a pen. He's got a piece of paper. He can take down your name and address. We can give you as many as you want. 617-770-3030. Remember, we're going to be at the Travel Marketplace broadcasting live just before it opens, which is kind of fun. So. And I promised I would talk about the latest Kia, which Nye and I were talking about, and that is the Kia Stinger. Kia's been making some interesting products the past few years, but a all-new five-door Stinger may be the best vehicle that Kia has made to date. The four-door hatchback Stinger comes in five trim levels with two engine choices, a 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder producing 255 horsepower, and a 3.3-liter V6 turbocharged engine that develops 365 horsepower, and even more amazing, 376 foot-pounds of torque. To add to the competitiveness in the segment, the Stinger is offered in both rear-wheel and all-wheel drive variants. Our road test was in the all-wheel drive GT2. The interior of the Stinger is delightful with luxury touches throughout. The interior material is a combination of high-quality leather and soft-touch plastics. The front seats are spacious, comfortable, and supportive. The rear seating is also quite good, but headroom gets a little tight for taller passengers due to the sloping roofline. The hatchback, although a bit unusual in many vehicles today, works quite well and offers 23 cubic feet of cargo storage. And again, I'm a fan of hatchbacks. I like the utility of a hatchback. I wish I actually had a hatchback while I was on vacation, but I didn't. And I suppose if I did, I would have bought stuff that fit in it. So maybe just as well. The controls are logical and well positioned for the driver, and overall interior looks as good as any premium car. And I like the accent lighting. They did a really nice job with the interior lighting. Safety is addressed with the latest features: intelligent cruise control, lane positioning, forward collision control, and even driver monitoring that warns the driver if it's time to take a break. A lot of cars have that, but it's interesting to see they put as much technology in here as possible. Performance from the 3.3-liter V6 engine is quite good, with an estimated 0 to 60 time of about 4.7 seconds, according to the data from Kia's website. I never tested it. I did know it was fast. Our car had the optional all-wheel drive system when equipped with proper tires. Should be able to handle this weekend's weather. The automatic transmission has paddle shifters for more enthusiastic driving experience. The GT versions of the Stinger also benefit from high-performance Brembo brakes, something found in high-performance vehicles throughout the world. The Stinger GT also benefits from electronically controlled suspension that can be tailored from comfort to sporty. The base model is a bit more traditional, with suspension that balances handling and ride comfort. The steering is direct, almost telepathic. Maybe that's a little bit strong, but BMW always had the best steering of any car, and I think this one they did a really good job with. The Stinger by Kia has a starting price of $51,500, and our as tested price for the fully loaded Stinger GT2 was just over $50,000. $50,000 is not a cheap car. But compared to other things out there, it easily compares to cars costing $20,000 more. So they did a really nice job with this car. I think just kind of all the way around. The one I had was in a brilliant red color. I know when I said something to Nye about it, he said he had one as well in red. They sold it. He was disappointed, but he found a black one. So he was good. So he got another one to drive.
I actually like the blue on that thing.
Yeah.
Blue looks sharp.
Blue
on
looks
that.
Good. Blue looks good too. It's kind of funny. I asked Nye what he drives normally, and he drives a 10-year-old BMW. They're not showy people, which I think is what he said about being a little ironic about, he kind of keeps in the background about the dealership. So kind of funny. A little note from Automotive News. It says elite level Hyundai dealers get first crack at Genesis stores. Hyundai plans to give some of its 350 elite level dealers the first chance to apply for standalone Genesis franchises, and is preparing compensation packages for dealers who have carried Genesis products but are being cut off the luxury brand. The compensation packages are intended to take care of those Hyundai dealers who invest in inventory, training, and equipment to service the products and help put the brand on the map. Some of these dealers have spent hard costs in the last year. We would reimburse them for those costs if they request us to buy vehicles back for whatever. We'll buy those cars back and make them whole. Some of the parts and accessory special tools, we don't want to leave the dealers any baggage, which is kind of nice to see. That doesn't always happen when a car manufacturer changes up things. You end up seeing an auction somewhere where they just have a bunch of parts and try to sell them afterwards. So it's nice to see Hyundai is taking care of their dealers that way. Our phone number is 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030 is how you get through. I understand there's a big race this weekend, Daytona 500.
That's how in tune I am with car racing.
I
know the Daytona 500. No idea when it is.
It's this weekend. Yeah. Some people say turning left. People make fun of it. Here's something sort of interesting. Boston Volvo Village. So Volvo Village in Boston is making it easier for customers to stick to their New Year's resolutions. Through a partnership with the neighborhood gym NB Fitness Club, the dealership offers free gym access to customers waiting to have their vehicle serviced. The perk is an extension of Boston Volvo Village and other service amenities such as loaner vehicles and shuttles to local retail stores. People want to use their time effectively while they're waiting for their car, says Ray Sokolo. Ray Sokolo he owns the Village stores, the various anything that has the Village name on it. And he's been around for a long time. In fact, he's been on this program years ago. He's another guy who's been around, just a good guy. This affords them the opportunity to go and try a health club. If they like it, they might want to join. interest in physical fitness spikes at the beginning of the year. Statistic Brain Research Institute found that 21% of people make a New Year's resolution to lose weight and improve their health. Socolow said the dealership's gym partnership is intended to tap that trend. Under the program, Boston Volvo Village customers may use the fitness club's exercise equipment as spa, as well as take yoga, cycling, and dance classes for free. The dealership gives customers a gym pass when they drop off their vehicles, and they can walk or take a shuttle from the dealership to the club, which is two blocks away. I guess if you're going to go to a gym, you should walk.
You should walk
for the exercise. Boston Volvo Village launched the program in October after Socolow said he noticed some of his customers going for a run or take a bike ride after dropping off the vehicle. The dealership began marketing the program after the holidays, hoping to take advantage of New Year's resolutions. Customers have been pleased. So far, they've been telling people about the offer when they made the appointment. He said customers just kind of like it. Amenities of Volvo Village help franchise dealership service departments better compete with independent shops, according to J.D. Power and Associates. It's kind of interesting how that all works and how dealerships are trying harder and harder to do things. And that's one of them. I remember when the Home Improvement Show was here, and Mark Forrester. And Greg Webb and Mark's brother, Jim Forrester. But Greg Webb also owns Webb's Fitness. And he used to say that on January 1st, the gym would get really busy. And by February 1st, not as busy, people would buy exercise cycles and treadmills. And by March, they were hanging clothes on them. So, and I always kind of thought about that as I look at my treadmill in my basement. Sitting there collecting dust. I think I stored paint on it one day. I don't know. It's not looking so good these days. Our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. I know it's a beautiful kind of day out. It's a little windy, but it's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm sure a lot of people are out today getting stuff done because it's going to not be great tonight, apparently.
Yeah, but it's going to be over by 7 a.m.
or something like that.
And then you just shovel yourself out, and then it's going to melt. You don't even have to shovel if you really don't want to.
I heard it's going to be 70 by Wednesday.
Like 68 degrees on Wednesday. My wife leaves for Florida on a day that it's going to be 68 degrees.
Well,
I said my wife, not me.
We heard you. Yeah, it's the good thing is that she is going on a day where it's nice, so she doesn't have to worry about delays and. Things.
Yeah, and I guess when they come back, it's going to be on Sunday. It's supposed to be nice, too. So they're down there for a few days.
Because when we were leaving a week ago Wednesday, the flights going to, like, New York and New Jersey were already canceled. And we had a 6:15 a.m. flight. And I was pretty much awake the whole night wondering if it was going to snow. And it did, but it did after we left, so that was good. And it was really wasn't the storm they predicted it was going to be. But they did cancel school in a bunch of places, so it was sort of interesting. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but this is my second trip on the bargain airline Frontier. And one of my coworkers, I said to her, what do you think about Frontier? And she said, oh, you're flying to your death. And I'm like, come on. And there were fairly new airplanes. It was, the seats are very basic. They're almost a racing style seat. It's aluminum or magnesium pan with about an inch of, I would say, memory foam padding over them, vinyl covering. Tiny, tiny tray table, but it was and they're tight for Dennis. His knees would be hitting the seat in front of him.
Exactly why I don't like to fly on bargain airlines. Like, Southwest is about as tight as I'll get.
Well, you could spend an extra $10 and get a roomier seat.
Yeah.
They do have those options. Yeah. But just to let you know, the return flight that we were on, $20 a seat coming back. You can be uncomfortable for $20.
$20.
Yeah, I know. $20. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
You don't have my knees.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's $20. It was It was like I don't know, 45 going down and 20 coming back.
How much was it to bring on a bag and all that stuff?
$18 and up, depending if you want an overhead storage. It was like 18, and it's cheaper if you get your bag as you book. Yeah. So if you book your ticket and it says, "Do you want to bring a bag?" and if you go no, and then you say, "Ah, oh, you know what? I think I am," then it's like whatever, $25. And if you do it at the gate, it's $40. We stuck everything in backpacks, squished it under the seat, and there was no problem. So it actually, you know, it worked out fine. I heard people complaining, well, yeah, but by the time you pay for all the extras, it's just the same as going someplace else. It was a direct flight out of Providence. Great little airport.
I love Providence Airport.
Yeah.
It's great.
Great little airport. In and out of there, flew into Fort Myers, which is not a bad airport to fly in and out of. And, you know, it was pretty hard to argue with the price. A little odd, I had to leave at 6 in the morning, which is bad. Well, 6:15 in the morning, technically. But unlike Logan, you kind of know what you're going to get for traffic at that time in the morning going in and going into the airport. I left my car at the thrifty park and fly thing or whatever it is. You know, it's $10 a day to leave your car there. And what I like about that, other than other parking places, you text them as you get off the plane. Your car's sitting out front. Your credit card's charged, and your car's running with the heat on.
So it's actually pretty.
And they, you know, the shuttle comes every, you know, as you text them. They, if they're not busy, they see the text come in and they send the shuttle. The shuttle was actually waiting for us when we went out. So it was, you know, a little inconvenience here and there, but the cost savings, the difference between, say, Frontier and JetBlue, which I like to fly JetBlue, although JetBlue's starting to charge you for bags now. Mm-hmm. That was like $125 more, I think, to fly JetBlue over Frontier. So, you know, we did Allegiant one time, same plane, same seats. The plane, when we flew Allegiant, it was in literally a brand new plane. It wasn't even dirty. And it was overall a good thing. Hey, our phone number is 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030. Let's talk to Mark. I've been talking for too long. Mark, is that you?
Yes, it is. Good morning, John Paul.
Good morning.
I called you a couple of weeks ago about a 2009 Chevy Traverse V6 with the misfiring on the rear bank.
Yep.
And so I brought it and had it taken care of. And it wasn't the ignition coils, because even though, you know, the printout on AutoZone or whatever said it was the misfiring in number 5 cylinder.
Yep.
And So he took a look at it, and he figured it out that that rear bank catalytic converter failed and clogged the secondary catalytic converter, the last one, the third one.
All right.
And that's why driving it just shut off, because it couldn't exhaust out.
Right, yeah.
So now he took it apart again. And then he said that there's nothing in that top catalytic converter, the rear bag one.
All the stuff is blown out of it?
Yeah, he said it, because I said to him, I says, well, won't that happen again if, you know, driving it again? And he said, no, there's nothing in it. It's empty. And he said the check engine light might come back on.
Oh, the check engine light will definitely come back on.
You're right, it did. It came back on the same day we got it back.
Yeah.
And it said that it was that catalytic converter is malfunctioning.
Right, right.
On the code, right?
And that catalytic converter probably malfunctioned because that cylinder was misfiring.
Well, that's the thing. He said that he didn't change any of the coils and the thing's running perfect.
Mm. Yeah.
He's thinking, which I never heard, I couldn't believe it could happen, but that the converter caused the misfiring, fouling up all those plugs, he said. The plugs all fouled, and that it wasn't B-coils at all.
Usually it goes the other way around. Usually the plugs misfire, which causes the converter to overheat and melt, and then all the precious metals and honeycomb inside of it cracks, deteriorates, and then goes and clogs the exhaust.
Right.
So, if the plugs were all misfired, he probably changed the plugs, right?
He did.
Yeah. So, you know, so maybe by default you ended up fixing the problem. But I'm willing to bet the catalytic converter failed because it was a misfire.
Right.
Yeah.
Now the question is, should the vehicle be driven or not? Because now that converter is not functioning right. Will that destroy the rear, the last converter?
No, all you're doing is putting holes in the ozone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You're polluting the air a little bit. I mean, you should. You know, you're never going to be able to get a sticker this way. So,
right.
Yeah. So you're going to have to. You're going to have
to be addressed.
Yeah.
But I was curious if they do damage to the blast converter.
No, I don't. You know, the converter. You know, its job is to do kind of more cleanup. So no, it's not going to do that. But still, it's something that you want to take care of, because if, like I said, the check engine light's on, it's going to come on for a catalytic converter failure. It's probably going to come up as a efficiency code. It's saying that the converter isn't being efficient, and is it possible that it's going to overheat that other converter? Maybe. I'm surprised the other converter is still got any life left in it anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if you end up having to put all the converters in this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I heard they're expensive, front two.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're looking at to do the factory style converter, which I've had, you know, talk to any shop owner, they're going to tell you the aftermarket converters, everybody makes them and everybody has problems with them. You know, you're probably looking at $700 a converter.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Okay then.
And there's no, and there's, and if you said, well, can I apply for a waiver to, so I don't have to do it, so I can, you know, save some money for a year or decide what to do. I don't think they let you do a waiver for a converter issue. They let you do a waiver for a lot of things, but I think because a converter directly affects tailpipe emissions, I don't think they let you do it.
Oh, I didn't even know you could get waivers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things, depending on the shop you go to or wherever you go to get an inspection sticker, they can give you more detail about it. Or you can call the... It's called the Motorist Assistance Center, and it's these centers that are set up from the vendor who does the inspection program. And you know, you can look up the number online or something and find out what the phone number is and go talk to somebody and see what the answer is.
Very good.
Okay.
I appreciate your information.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Good luck. See you.
Bye.
Bye. Not good news, but it kind of interesting. I have a coworker. George Morse. George Morse has a Jeep Liberty, I think. And he said last Saturday night, he plays a guitar. And he was leaving wherever he was going. And he was in a big parking lot. He went to back up. And he said, I was convinced I backed into a dumpster. My car made this wicked rattling, banging noise. He said, it sounded like I hit a big metal drum. And he said, it was like a episode from Twilight Zone. I got out. I'm the only one in the parking lot. I looked around. There's nothing there. Not a single thing. So he got back in his car, and he said the car came to a stop. It just, bam, and came to a stop. So he said, I don't know. So he drove home, and it was making some noise. Got home, and... Go ahead.
He works for AAA?
Yeah.
He drove home in a car that was making banging
yeah,
sounds?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I know. I know. Okay. But he drove home, and got in the car the next day, not a sound. It's like, well, what happened? You know. So then, let's see, that was Saturday night. Sunday it was fine. Monday it was fine. Tuesday, a noise came back, a loud clanking noise came back. He brought it to a local repair shop to completely went over the car and said, the water pump's leaking a little bit, and there's a ball joint that's worn. Okay. But he also recently had a transmission put in the car. So I said to him, and so didn't the repair shop, you know, maybe, you know, we think the noise is coming from the transmission. Go to the transmission shop and have them look at it, which is right across the street from work. And I said to him, I don't know. I said, you know, unless they left something obviously loose like the transmission, I don't see that making that noise. And he said, well, I'm going to bring it over there anyway. And I said, I think that, I said, does your car have four-wheel disc brakes or disc brakes and drum brakes? He's like, no, it's got four-wheel disc brakes. I said, here's what I think happened. Under the disc brake rotor, there's an emergency brake. Looks like little tiny brake shoes. I think the emergency brake shoes fell out. And they're floating around inside the brake drum, which is really the brake rotor. And when you backed up, they jammed, made that loud clank, and that's why the car stopped. And he said, yeah, I don't know, the brakes are fine. He said, besides, it was across the street at that garage, and they found stuff that I didn't even know was wrong with it. And I said, I don't know. So he said, well, it's going over to the transmission shop. So the transmission shop calls him back and says, we didn't find anything wrong with the transmission. And then he hears in the background someone yell out, hey, is that the guy with the Jeep? And he said, yeah. And he said, dude, you got to get that ball joint done right away. You're cheating death with this thing. This ball joint is really bad. And he said, could that ball joint make a noise? And I said, well, if it's about ready to fall out, but I don't see it bringing the car to a stop. I think you still got a brake problem. And he goes, no, they checked it all out. They couldn't find anything wrong. So he went to the dealership. He went back there on yesterday at 4:30. It was done. It was supposed to be done at 10 in the morning. 4:30 it was done. And he goes in there and he sends me a text message. He's like, you still at work? I said, yeah. He said, I got a story for you. So he comes back and I said, what happened? And he said, well, I went to go pick up my car. They replaced the ball joint. And then he came up with a box full of parts. I said, what were the parts? He said, the rear brake shoes from the emergency brake. He said, they all fell out, and they were rolling around inside the brake drum. And he goes, you still got it. You still know how to do this stuff. So it had been to three different repair shops. And I just used a little bit of logic that made sense. So, and I never saw the car. So chalk one up for me.
I have a question.
Yes.
My wife's 2007 Toyota Camry.
Yep.
I think I might have asked this before, and I can't remember the answer. Anytime there's a lot of weather, wet weather in particular, the next day the check engine light comes on. It only stays on
until the car dries out?
Pretty much, yeah. We've replaced the gas cap, but it's an aftermarket gas cap.
Yep.
It's not a...
Yeah, that wouldn't do it.
But we just cannot figure this thing out.
Yeah, well, when the check engine light's on, there's got to be a code.
It always comes back as an oxygen sensor.
Okay.
Or a CO sensor somewhere.
Yeah, probably what happens is there's a connection issue somewhere going to the oxygen sensor. The oxygen sensor's job, it kind of looks like a spark plug, and what it does is when it gets really hot, it actually makes electricity. Not a lot of electricity, but it makes a little bit of electricity. Chances are there's a break in the wire or something, and when it gets wet, it's actually shorting out a little bit, and then it dries out and it goes away. So somewhere in that wire that goes from the computer to the oxygen sensor, and it could be three wires actually that go there, and one of them could be for an oxygen sensor heater, could be for the sensor itself. Somewhere in there, there's probably a wire break that's causing that to happen when it gets wet.
Is it worth repairing?
How much longer are you going to keep it?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Probably, you know, it's always worth trying to fix it. But where it's a wiring problem, it could be a little bit tricky to figure out. The cheap and easy way would be, let's put an oxygen sensor in it and try it and see what happens. But the problem, I would say the problem is not the sensor. I would say the problem is the wiring going to the sensor. And if it's the part that you get when you get an oxygen sensor, well, you don't have anything to worry about. It gets fixed. If it's the connection, still that's a special seal in there. If that's bad, well, you fixed it by putting a new oxygen sensor in. But if it's the 12 feet of wire that goes from there back to the computer, you just spent $150 on an oxygen sensor that's not going to fix anything. So, depends.
Okay.
Springtime's coming. It's going to rain more. The light's going to be on more often.
Is it doing any harm to the car?
No, it's probably just throwing it off. What happens is the computer looks at tolerances, and it looks at kind of a window. And it's like, this is normal within the window. And where it's getting wet, it's probably falling outside the window. Not enough to really cause a problem. Not enough to make it like the exhaust stink or run real lean. But it's probably just enough to go outside the parameters of what's considered normal. So chances are it's probably not doing anything. You know, if it stayed on, if it didn't go away after it dried out the next day, then definitely I would want to get it taken care of.
Okay.
Well, what was that? This may fit into something that Dennis is interested in. Udacity launches classes to teach coding for flying cars. Udacity, the online education startup founded by self-driving car veteran Sebastian Thrun, is opening digital doors to potential flying car engineers. The company said it's begun accepting applications for its newest class, a 2-year term on engineering a flying car. The 8-month, $2,400 program will begin in late February. So, Dennis, instead of going to school for whatever you're going to school for, what are you going to school for?
Business management.
Yeah, you don't want to go to school for that. For $2,400, you can go to a two-term course on how to engineer a flying car.
Oh!
It's a company called Udacity, U-D-A-C-I-T-Y. It's an online education startup, and it's opening the digital doors for potential flying car engineers. The company said it's beginning to accept applications for its newest class.
I think I have a hard time selling Libby on that one.
Oh, yeah? Why? Hour. So, and if you're ever in Atlanta, Waymo and Google self-driving car affiliate has chosen Metro Atlanta as the next location to test its autonomous vehicle, Chrysler Pacifica. Waymo is already testing vehicles with riders on public roads in Chandler, Arizona. Has also been testing riderless tests in California, Washington, Texas, and Michigan. So you may see a driverless car there. And back, I don't know, it had to be 15 years ago, there was a talk about peak oil, which means when we were going to run out of oil, when we've used, you know, when we've hit that point where we can't make more oil than we're using. Well, it didn't happen. Peak oil demand may just be 12 years away now. Well, back then it was 15 years ago, it was like a couple years away. Now, all of a sudden, it isn't. Peak oil demand may be just 12 years away, according to Merrill Lynch analysts who predict that 40% of all car sales will be electric by the year 2030, reducing the need for oil as fuel for transport. Electric vehicles will likely start to erode this last major bastion of oil demand growth in the early 2020s and cause global oil demand to peak by 2030, analysts wrote in an email report. I don't really know that 50% or 40% of the cars are going to be electric by whatever it said, 2030.
Yeah.
We're going to see more and more. I mean, the Chevy Bolt, which I've never driven, has good range, 250 mile range, but it's a $42,000 car. And even if you get the $7,500 tax incentive, you can get one a little bit cheaper. The Tesla Model 3, kind of in that same price range. We haven't, You know, there's been a few of those that have been sold, but not many.
Yes, sir.
So there's that issue.
Yes.
But affordable cars, cars that are going to be, you know, in that, you know, would you rather have a Kia Stinger or a Chevy Bolt? Bolt's a nice car for what it is, but do you really want one?
We'll probably bring it back. It's just
so, you know, it's just one of those odd things. There was something about an article, and this is kind of a long article. It says, Edsel Ford II holds out hope that someone will find his great-grandfather's life-changing car. The moving assembly line and the $5 workday, a steadfast belief in mobility of the masses. Those were the foundation of Henry Ford making success as an automaker, but not the whole story. Ford Motor Company's true cornerstone, little remembered and perhaps lost to history, is made of cut glass years before the Model T rolled out of the Ford's plant in Detroit. The formation of the second-largest automaker hinged on turn-of-the-century punch bowl etched in classic strawberry diamond and fan pattern had been missing since 1951, buoyed by the good fortune of suddenly finding Steve McQueen's 1968 Mustang Bullitt on display in the Detroit Auto Show. The Ford family would like to get their bowl back, and they would like America to check its attics and basements one more time. It's really important piece of the family history, according to Edsel Ford II, who's holding out slim hope someone can still find it. All I can imagine is someone just dropped it and it broke, and nobody wanted to admit to it. They're like, "Oh, geez, we just broke Henry Ford's glass bowl thing, glass punch bowl." Henry Ford won the punch bowl after besting heavy favorite Alexander Winton, founder of the Winton Motor Carriage Company, in a 10-lap race on October 10th, 1901 in the Detroit Driving Club in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. The race has become automotive legend. I've actually driven a copy of the car that he won, the one in. The unexpected victory gained Ford, who was down on his luck after the closure of the Detroit Automobile Company, some positive press and much-needed investors. Besides the bowl, Ford invested... also received a $1,000 prize, which helped him fund the new venture called Ford Motor Company. Many of us believe that Henry Ford hadn't won that race, he might not have been able to raise the money and finally build Ford Motor Company. So this bowl was supposed to belong to Ford. Race founders presumed Winton would win, so they actually let the promotions manager select the bowl as Winton's would-be trophy because it was believed it would look good on display on his Cleveland home. Henry Ford was a nobody, virtually unknown, even in Detroit, and Winton was the best-known racing driver in the U.S. It's a classic David and Goliath. Ford fell behind in the two-man race, but in lap 7, Winton's Bullitt racer began to smoke and malfunction while Ford's sweepstake car passed it, shocking the crowd of 8,000. After Ford opened the Fairlane Estate in 2015, the unmarked bowl was accorded a place of honor and a table. I still say somebody just bumped into it, broke it, and threw it in the trash, but who knows? Maybe it is in somebody's basement somewhere. So if you happen to have it, give it back to Ford. We need to take a break. Pay some bills. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor Program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Austin. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Car Doctor Program on AM 950 WROL, The Spirit of Austin. Well, if you want tickets to the AAA Travel Marketplace, we did send out some, and we do have at least a couple of requests. But you still have some time, so if you want to get them.
Now, when is that again?
I don't know.
You're the guy that works there and giving these things away.
I don't have a ticket. I don't know. I didn't read the ticket.
First weekend in March.
Yeah, it's like March 3rd, 4th, 5th. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think
a couple
it's that
of
first,
Friday, Saturday, yeah, Sundays yeah, in March, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think yeah, I think it's that. I think it's the very first week because, interestingly, that week, well, I'm going to be at Travel Marketplace, and the next weekend, and you're still going to be home that weekend. You're not going anywhere.
No.
But the next weekend after that, I agreed to do a talk with the branch manager in Raynham, down in Middleboro, and I don't know what weakness said I would go work a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, so you're not telling me then that you're going to be remote 2 weeks?
No,
in a row.
No,
okay.
No, no, no. I'll be here. I'll be here, because yeah, I don't have to be there till one. So yeah, no, it's just that, and you know, hopefully it will all go just the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's some bleeding that they can't hear over the air, but we
yeah,
can hear
okay,
in our ear.
I thought you figured out how to fix it.
I did. I just haven't done it yet.
Oh.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's going to
yeah,
go away
make it
now.
Go away. Go ahead.
Abracadabra.
Yeah. Look at that. It stopped.
It stopped.
Did it? Oh, yeah, it did. Look at that. You're a genius.
Yeah.
I took a test on Facebook the other day. Apparently, I'm a genius. Do all those tests come out? Do you get them right?
Don't believe yep, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially as a grammar test. I talked about this a little last week. Code scanners and scan tools in general have gotten very inexpensive, but there's only so much you can do with them, and sometimes they're limited what they can actually scan. And I got one from, of all places, Harbor Freight. And, you know, so a lot of people make fun of Harbor Freight tools, but their hand tools have a lifetime warranty, and their other tools are, well, I had to buy an electrical tester while I was in Florida, and the one I bought, I think, cost $17 or $18, and it's pretty much exactly the same one you get for free from Harbor Freight when you have a coupon, and I had to pay $17 for it. It crushed me, but I've bought some things from there, and I've had pretty good luck, and people go, oh, well, they're a single-use tool company, and but sometimes for the price, even if it was, but they're not. I like to say their tools work till they don't. I mean, sometimes they're not professional grade, although they're starting to be. They're actually starting to be pretty professional. But they came up with a line of scan tools called Zurich, Z-U-R-I-C-H, and it's ZurichDiagnostics.com is how you can get the full, you know, full lowdown on the manuals and all that stuff. But it's a small scan tool. But what I like about it is it has emissions test status, so it tells you whether your car will pass an emissions test or not. It also does not just engine diagnostics. It does airbag and anti-lock brake diagnostics. And if I ever get time to be able to look at my own car, I will be able to use it and try to. My own car has a issue with the ABS brakes right now, and I'll be able to actually scan it and check it and see how well this works. It's a pretty neat little tool, and it's got a ton of like little icons on it, so you can see what's going on. Tell you about misfire and you know whether it's connected up properly. I like the idea. Even they thought ahead that the connector you plug in on the dash has a LED light in it, so you know you don't have to crawl under there with a flashlight to try to find the connector because it's made right into it. It runs on a couple of AAA batteries. So far, I mean, my initial look at it, I plugged it into my car and looked at it, and it did have a code for a wheel sensor, which is what I thought was wrong with it. I cleared it, shut it off, and the light came back on, which I expected it to. But I want to go out and see what it does. It also gives you some tech tips. So it gives you, like, well, this could be wrong or that could be wrong. It's actually a pretty neat little thing. I haven't gotten really to use it yet, which is the other part. So, but kind of a neat thing. Ford's coming up with a diesel engine in its F-150 pickup truck. They expect the first diesel version of the F-150, which is going to go on sale this year, to produce highway fuel economy of 30 miles per gallon. The diesel variant announced last year as part of the F-150 2018 model freshening will have a 3-liter power stroke engine rated at 250 horsepower, but a very impressive 440 foot-pounds of torque, best-in-class numbers. It's meant to appeal to consumers who haul more than normal. Officials expect the segment best 2,000-pound payload, 11,000 pounds of trailer towing capacity. It's the next logical extension. I remember when I talked about putting diesels in light-duty trucks, and Ford seemed a little cold to the idea. Same thing, why didn't they put a diesel in the Transit and Transit Connect? Same kind of idea.
You always are a step ahead of
the curve. Yeah, that's me. I'm always ahead of the curve on those things. You know, I probably invented munchkins or something, too.
You did.
Probably not.
No, you did.
I did, yes. U.S. News and World Report. We'll have to get Jamie Page Deaton on the show someday. I do something with her kind of on a semi-regular basis with an NPR show. But their 2018 Best Cars for the Money Award, compact car, Kia Soul, which I like the Kia Soul a lot. It's a little square box. It's practical as can be. It gets reasonably good fuel economy, not great fuel economy, but I like it a lot. Compact SUV, Honda CR-V, hard not to say that. Midsize car, Toyota Camry. Well, that wasn't exactly there wasn't a big leap there. They picked that as the best car. Luxury small car, Audi A3. I don't know. Might be better cars than the Audi A3. Luxury three-row SUV, 2018 Acura MDX. I agree with that, and I talked a coworker into an Acura MDX. He hated it. He loved it. He's like, it handles good, but I got three kids, and when I put my wife and the three kids in the car, and they want to bring a friend, there's no place for them. But even though it says it has three rows of seats, and it does, I put the kids in there's no room for their stuff. So when I take them to baseball practice and hockey practice, and if they bring four of their friends, I can't carry all their stuff. So he ended up buying a minivan and a Ford F-150 pickup truck, four-door truck, so he can put the kids in the truck and all their junk in the back so he can carry them all. But he said, oh, I need an SUV. And he said, well, he thought it was a good idea, but it wasn't as good an idea as he hoped. Hey, we're starting to look. It's getting closer to that time. And I want to thank Nynan Co. from Wellesley Toyota. Well, you didn't have to play music yet. Is it that time? Is my watch slow?
It's 58.
58. But I want to thank Nynan Co. from Wellesley Toyota and Lev Kia for joining us this morning. Co-worker Drew Carlson from AAA for joining us and talking about the registry services now, how we have registry services in all of our AAA offices. So don't wait in line at the registry. You can go to our office. It's easier. It's quicker. And we're happy all the time. I think so. I think we're always happy. We try to tell everybody we're happy. And look, and there's Bill. Who's that? Who's that guy? Who's that guy right there?
Not to be confused with Bill Bailey.
Who's that guy? Who is he? Bobby Brooks is right there. Standing right there. Microphone's on.
Getting ready.
Filling in for Professor Paul Sullivan. We got to get him better. We got to get him some aloe drink or something to get his gut fixed.
Yeah, just everything in a blender for Paul for
a
little bit.
Yeah,
send the prayers out to him, you know.
Yeah.
He'll get there.
Yep. No, he's there. So hopefully, I know he's listening. So, Paul, get well soon. You're in our thoughts. We know you're going to get better. So it's all good. So what do you got planned for today?
Oh, we're getting ready for the high holy holiday of St. Patrick's Day. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of information about what's coming up. March 10th, March 3rd, March 17th, March 18th.
Yeah, March 10th, I finally decided that the AAA Travel Marketplace always falls exactly the same time as the St. Patrick's Day Parade down the Cape. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, this is a year it doesn't. And I'm going to be able to go.
Oh, it's going to be great this year because there's a festival, too.
But I booked myself to go talk to people at someplace in Middleborough the same day. And I'm like, oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah, you could have gone down there with Matt and Johnny Costello.
No,
the
last time I was there, I did my show from Captain Parker's, and it was a great time. I talked to the folks there. It was fun. I actually knew a couple people at the bar first thing in the morning, you know, which I guess tells you my friends. But it was great. It was great to be there, and it always is, and it's always such a good time. Whether it's at Cape Cod Irish Village or Captain Parker's, it's always a good time, and it's always good to see Matt. And all I can imagine what's going to happen with Johnny.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's getting to be a real fun time of year for the Irish community. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I noticed the last time I was down the Cape, even the Irish Village was totally sold out.
Yeah,
they are busy all the time now down there. So we should take a little credit for that, I think. So.
Absolutely.
All right. I got to get out of here because Bobby Brooks is here filling in for Professor Paul Sullivan and the very best in Irish music coming up on the Irish Hit Parade. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.